roughly a way to model subtractive colors. Although I have to admit it's not perfectly subtractive color model, because in practice, if you mix magenta, cyan, and yellow, then for example, think of your printers, then you can't get a perfectly black color, so it's rough model. But anyway, people are more thinking in a subtractive way when they think of adding colors than in an additive way. But in the current implementation, I'm focusing on the additive way, but in principle, it's not a problem to extend my model to subtractive colors. Okay, so the basic problem is, what is the space of sounds? So sound is a periodic wave form, and so in terms of mathematics, this is an infinite dimensional vector space, and the color space actually is not a vector space, it's a subset of a vector space. It's just the first octant of the three-dimensional vector space part of it. So I have a problem to find a mapping from the infinite dimensional space of sounds into this cubic first octant of the three-dimensional space. And it can be shown that there actually is no mapping that preserves topology, that is, that maps similar colors to similar sounds. So, what can I do? The idea that I had is, okay, I don't take the whole vector space of sounds, but I just select three-dimensional subspace of the full space of sounds. And if I do that, then I can map colors of this three-dimensional RGB space into the sound space that I just selected. And in practice, that means that I can assign the three colors that we just saw, red, green, and blue, to three particular sounds. And all other colors can be expressed as a linear combination of the three base colors, and I can use this linear combination in order to produce a linear combination of the three sounds that I just selected. So I get basically a vector space homomorphism. And actually that fulfills all the goals that I initially had. So to make this more clear, so we still have our color cube with the three components red, green, and blue. And the user defines basically three different waves. For example, here is a square wave. Here is it's already a composed wave, composed from two sine waves. Here in the band we have a sawtooth wave. And then if I take an arbitrary point within the color cube, for example, this point here at the back side on the right side, this is, for example, a combination of the square wave on the x-axis and the sawtooth wave on the z-axis. And the sum of these results in something like this shape here drawn here. So I have a definite a full specification for all points in this sound cube. So this sounds very clear and plain and nice, but there's a problem. What I'm doing is just linear interpolation. And even though the waveforms, the shape of the waveforms look very interesting and you would guess that it would produce very interesting sounds, actually what linear interpolation of waveforms does is actually equivalent to crossfading. So if you have a color gradient, then that's nothing else than just mixing two sounds on a mixer, and that's not very appealing. So it would be nice if we could add something to this mapping to make it more interesting. Actually, what you would like to have is rather something like a sound morphing, so that you have three, not only sound wave forms, but three sounds with additional properties, and that the mapping just does an interpolation not only of the waveforms but other attributes. So the basic idea is to add non-linear content. For example, this can be a vibrato on a waveform. This can be detuning some disharmonic content of sounds. This can be an echo or something else. So we move a little bit away from the pure waveform to some more complex. But there's one assumption that I have. These parameters must be controllable by a kind of slider, by a value that can be linearly changed. So with this approach, you get a more generalized mapping. Okay, so we still have the three components. We define three sounds, but not only waveforms, but three sounds with some more parameters. And then we linearly interpolate not only the waveforms themselves, but also the parameters that are put on these sounds. And then the hope is to get something similar to the sound morphing. The nice thing is that this results in a very pretty interface for the user, actually. So the idea is we have the three colors, red, green, and blue. And for each color, the user can define the sound. And in this example here, I have several sound editors for different sound, for different categories of sound shapes. For example, here I have a square wave editor, here a triangle wave editor, here's an editor for adding partials to an arbitrary waveform. And for each of these waveforms, then I have a widget that allows me to edit this sound. For example, in this here is a triangle editor that lets me manipulate the duty cycle of the square wave. But it also allows to adjust non-linear parameters, just like the vibrato depth and vibrato rate. A very important thing is, while I can have separate editors for different categories of sound shapes, for example, here on the top I have the triangle editor with the duty cycle, the other parameters that I have here in the lower part of the editor widget, these parameters must be equivalent for all types of wave forms. Because if I do an interpolation, as I have shown, it's simple to interpolate the waveform itself, because I'm just doing a linear interpolation of the basically crossfading of the sound shapes. But I also have to interpolate these parameters, and to be able to interpolate these parameters, all waveform editors must have the same parameters to that can be checked. So the lower part of this widget should be equivalent for all types, categories of waveforms, while the upper part that is only responsible for the waveform can be something specialized. Yes, the application that I wrote to demonstrate the concept also has a main window that allows you to play back generated sounds. And yeah, this just shows that there's a cursor line that slides over the window when playing back the synthesized music. So now I have another example. So that's basically the same example as in the beginning, but now I have added colors to this image, and I would like to play it to you so that you can hear the difference between the black and white version as the colored version. So maybe I should play back once again the black and white version. So once again the black and white version. Final point is currently I'm using raster graphics. That is basically that each pixel line is associated with the oscillator, and that is one reason of the big amount of computation. So it would be, maybe it would be interesting to use rather vector graphics instead of raster graphics, which also would have the advantage that in vector graphics you know more about the structure of the image. So this might be also interesting for the future. Yes, that's all. So if you have any questions?
This is Victor Lassani from Ireland. I just, one question that I have is about the sound generation principles. For instance, I mean, with the sine waves, that is not so much problem, but with complex waves, if you generate them, you know, for instance, if you create a fundamental that is quite high, if you don't have unlimited waveform, you're going to end up with allies. Did you take care of that, or what do you think about that? Because, unlimited signal, etc.
The limit of the frequency when adding waveforms?
Not exactly. Well, that's really good. But the fact, for instance, if you say have a non-bundled waveform, then you whatever frequency when you generate, you might end up with audible harmonics, audible-alized harmonics. So did you take care of that side?
Actually, there's currently no frequency limiting code in the program except for an anti-aliasing of the image itself. So, for example, if you have pixels, so a white pixel and a black pixel, then you would get a click if you produce sounds. So, for this reason, I'm basically putting a deep path filter over the X axis of the image. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the only thing.
But that's something you might consider, because you can hear from the signal there are quite a lot of reversed images. I mean, not that that is a problem, but that it's something that's kind of beyond your control, because if you change the signal thinking that you have like a certain number of harmonics for that particular, say, line, you might end up with many more that are the images that are kind of, you know, aligned back from, you know, the fact that you know the signal is limited. And if you go beyond the Nyquist, then you're going to get started signal.
Okay.
Gerrit van Dongen, Netherlands. Did you consider using spectral morphing in the frequency domain of sounds instead of time domain fading? So you take a FFT of each of your core sounds and use interpolation between the frequency domain representations of your sounds to see if you could get more morphing type effect without using nonlinear parameters.
Yeah, actually that is goes into the direction what I mentioned when I said disharmonic content. So the idea that I have is that we can also define spectral lines for each of the sounds that are outside of the harmonic spectrum. And then I would have to find a way, to define a slider that interpolates between two different of such disharmonic spectra. So basically I have this idea in mind, but while in classical sound morphing, you have the sound given and then are trying to interpolate what is already there. Here it's a different approach, because here you have only, or here you have the definition of the sound itself. So you are not doing an interpolation of the spectrum or trying to detect what the spectral lines are, but rather you, the idea is to define spectral lines. So yes, also basically that's the idea, but I would have to think about how to define spectral lines such that I have a linear function that lets the spectral lines of one sound move to the spectral lines of another sound.
Another question from here, maybe from the internet?
Well, here's also jumping. I have two questions. Have you thought about integrating three-dimensional images, for instance, to get something like envelopes within your model? And the other question is, have you had a look at Metascent on the Mac to learn from the problems there concerning how it can be used from artwork?
Yeah. First question, yes, I have thought about more dimensions. There's not only this third dimension, but for example, you could also take a sequence of images, because the sequence of images even maps more closely to the time model. But the main issue here is that you then need to have an editor for either three-dimensional images or a sequence of images. And so creating this three-dimensional image or image sequence would impose some difficulties. So the mapping itself could be very simple, but the question is it still intuitive? Because the main focus, the main idea is to have a tool, and the tool should it make it possible to create something in a easy way. So if you present me a good editor for three-dimensional images, I might consider it, yes. The second question, Metascent. I had a short look at the documentation of Metascent on the net. Actually, if I don't disturb things, I think they are using an approach that is similar to Coagula's approach, if I remember correctly.
Coagula is a kind of pure man's clone.
And Coagula actually uses a special case of mind mapping, because in Coagula, for example, the blue color is mapped to panning or something like that. So you can, with my approach, you can simulate what Coagula does by just selecting three particular cards.
Next, wouldn't it be nice to have a vector graphic in three-dimensional space and make an editor for this?
Okay, vector graphics, as I just wrote, would be nice, or at least would be worth thinking about. Three-dimensional editor for vector graphics, such that it, could be interesting, could be nice, but I would have to think about it and then probably write a different paper on that topic itself. Okay.
Any last question? No. So thank you very much, Jürgen, for this very interesting talk. And we will have 5 minutes break for setting up the next talk about FireWire audio.
Yeah. keep an eye on our disk space. If it gets really slow, let me know and I'm also what? That's fine. Okay. Pila, just. What is that? That's a video one, right?
I think that's what
I No, it should be video two. That has got
started both of
those. He started both.
Yeah, I didn't start both.
Yeah.
Okay. He's right in the price.
Yeah, you killed this one, right? Yeah. Here, there's a video.
Now we can send it to
Now, kill your file, video one. Okay, just remember. Did I show you where the metadata is?
Okay, you should change that now.
Yeah, do it. Then you can kill ISIS right and kill the user on ISIS right away. And kill it again when the next talk actually starts. So that this file will end. And then you have 5 minutes to use the file. And then you kill it again. So you don't bother to kill. No. And then rename them right away so that we know the file names and I can start uploading them during lunch break. Yeah, okay, thanks.
Ja,
das geht schon. Ich darf nicht einfach verstehen, falls wir da irgendwie was probieren.